around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today, and we'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We greet you in the risen name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. What a joy to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a joy to know our sins are washed away. What a joy to know that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a joy to know there's peace in our hearts, peace in our minds, that all is well with our soul when it comes to Christ. What a joy to be a Christian. What a joy to know all my sins are washed away. The account is settled. I owe nothing. Jesus paid the debt of sin when he went to the cross. And all we have to do now is believe and trust in his vicarious, efficacious work, and we are saved. It is just that simple. It is men that convolute, that twist the scriptures and make being born again so difficult, so difficult. That is why we call that a Pharisaical spirit, putting all these demands, etc., 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 on people. You don't do this, you don't do that. You didn't do it this way, you didn't do it that way. This is what religion does to people. The eunuch, the Philip went up into the chariot with him. The eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. He wanted to know who this man was that was going to suffer so profusely. Who is this man? Philip said, it's Jesus, the Messiah, the one that had just not too long ago been crucified. And he believed, and he believed and was water baptized and on his way to heaven. No doubt he took the personal spiritual experience back with him to Ethiopia and began to decree and declare the gospel of Christ to those people. And no doubt many came to the saving grace and the knowledge of Christ. And no doubt that eunuch preached Isaiah 53 many times to those who would listen and hear the word of the Lord. And so it is today. It is applicable today. The gospel has not changed. The word of God has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. He is immutable. He does not change, oscillate, vacillate. There is no orbit in him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The other morning, I woke up with this song on my mind. It's an old hymn. I want to know more about my Lord. I haven't heard this song sang in, I don't know, 25 years or better. But it's a powerful song, and I love the words to it. And every one of us should have a desire to want to know more about the Lord. And there are two means, there are two ways that you can come to know Christ in a greater way. One is through prayer, and the other is through the Holy Scriptures. Those will bring to you what you need to know regarding more of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more people pray, and the more people study the Word of God, the more they know about the Lord. I think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was on the precipice of being beheaded. He had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. But he wanted the parchments. He wanted to bring them to him that he might study them even more before he was to depart. Let me share that with you today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So there was a change. This is John Mark, who Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas had a difference in opinion, and John Mark didn't go on the missionary trip, and it caused a fracture in their relationship. But now, obviously, John Mark has matured, and so Paul says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Bring the parchments. I want you to bring those. I want to study them even more. And the man is about to go and be with the Christ of God. But he had such a voracious appetite for the Lord and his word, he wanted to continue to study the Holy Writ. I pray you today want to know more about my Lord. Amen.
While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm on my way.
Desire today to want to know more about the Lord. I believe every true Christian have a voracious appetite for God and his word. True Christianity is fervent. True Christianity is fiery. True Christianity holds within it conviction. But what we see mostly today is certainly not true Christianity. I want to go back today to Isaiah chapter 3. I want to pick up in verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him or done to him. We saw last week in verse 10 here, Isaiah 3 and 10, that to the righteous who live righteously and do right, it will be well with them, and they also shall eat the fruit of their doing. But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be done or given unto him. This verse 11 here decrees a terrible woe concerning the wicked or the lawless ones. The lawless ones are those who break up and destroy all that is good or desirable. These lawless ones are both spiritually and physically injurious to all others. The rioting and the pillaging and the plundering that we witnessed in 2020 when Donald Trump was still in office, burning down cities, tearing down history, tearing down statutes. These people are injurious both spiritually and physically. They are absolutely and utterly destructive. Think about that for just a moment. When God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to go into Jerusalem, he literally razed, R-A-Z-E-D, he razed the town. He leveled it. He took back with him all the sacred vessels and implements in the tabernacle of God, because 70 years later, his grandson Belshazzar would get drunk, according to Daniel chapter 5, and would require the servants to go get the holy and the sacred vessels of God. And he poured liquor and wine, and he drank out of those sacred vessels, liquor and wine. He desecrated, he defiled the holy things of God. And in their drunken stupor, and their worshiping and lauding and extolling the false gods, the false deity, the handwriting of God appeared upon the wall. Thus, here in Isaiah verse 11, here in chapter 3, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. God is always accurate, always factual, telling us the absolute truth. Lawlessness in the Greek means these evil ones are literally good for nothing. Think of that. When you read the word iniquity in the New Testament, is in Greek, the Old Testament is in Hebrew. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That word iniquity there is lawlessness in the Greek. And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. People today are becoming indifferent. Why? Because of the mass sins that are being committed throughout not only America, but the entirety of the world. So when the Greek defines the word iniquity there as lawlessness, it means these evil ones, these lawless ones, are good for nothing. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Good for nothing. Why? because they are in direct opposition to God. God is good, God is righteous, and God is absolutely just. And this is why you see so many people always attacking Christianity, always critical, always condescending, always badgering. And yet the church sits idly by. You hardly ever hear a preacher today address current events, current patterns. You never hear them address these subject matters because it is not popular. If men truly prayed and sought the face and the counsel of God, they would come out of the prayer chamber wielding the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, and they would preach uncompromisingly, not for fear or favor, but preach the word of God as God has proclaimed it, not watering it down, not polluting it, diluting it, not twisting it for their own benefit, but just tell the absolute truth. But that is not popular among purported Christians today. But Isaiah through the Holy Ghost says here in verse 11, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him." I want you to think about that. The enormity of the illness that will smite America is unimaginable. Nevertheless, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. The word ill there in the Hebrew means an evil calamity will overtake them. In other words, pure, unadulterated evil will be rendered unto the rebels. And everywhere we look, everywhere we turn today, there is rebellion against that which is godly, righteous, and just. It is so sad. It is so tragic as we watch everything that was wholesome and good and enjoyable, that which edifies and comforts, all of that is being destroyed by the lawless ones, the evil ones. And rest assuredly, saints of God, an evil calamity will overtake them. That's what the Hebrew says. When it says, woe unto them, the word woe there means great will be your grief, and the grief will be immeasurable. So many think in their mind they're going to get by, that they're going to go through life unscathed. And you know, the truth is, many will seemingly go through life unscathed. But in the end, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess unto God, and every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. I didn't say that. The scriptures declare that. Romans 14, 11. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, every tongue shall confess unto God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. You will give an account. I will give an account. This is why the Christian should be sowing righteous seed, because we all will reap what we sow. I said we all will reap what we sow. This is the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We all are sowing. Every one of us are sowing something. If you sow righteous seed, you can expect a righteous harvest. If you sow corrupt seed, you will reap corruptness in your life. And this is what's been happening in America. For many years, we've been sowing corruptness, and we're reaping what we have sown. As I said to you some weeks, if not months ago, I witnessed as a young preacher back in the early 80s. I began to preach. In 1979, I left my job at Freightliner and went full-time in the evangelistic field by 1980. I am witnessing, and I have witnessed through the years, how the message relative to the Word of God has changed. It has changed. There's no longer fiery, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled preaching. Oh, there are some. Don't get me wrong. There are pockets here and there. But in general, you don't see that anymore. Why don't you see that? Because that's not what the people want to hear. They want to have their ears tickled. Make me feel good, preacher. Don't say anything that would disrupt my carnal lifestyle, my lying, my cheating, my drinking, my doping, my fornication, my adultery, my homosexuality, my perversity. Don't preach anything like that. I'm happy where I am. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, simply meaning the wicked, they have come, they have gone throughout all of history. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. That one phrase there here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Godly people live in fear and reverence of God. As believers, we must remember there is always hope in the midst of judgment. It will be well with the righteous. That was Jeremiah's heart. When you read the book of Lamentations, he looked at all the ruinous, smoldering debris of Jerusalem. He wept profusely. From the time that God called Jeremiah to be a preacher, a prophet of God, he wept over the sins of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. He knew they were going to be slain, and he wept for them. Hot tears ran down his face as he sought, to persuade people, judgment is coming. We are in the throes of judgment. It's upon us. Yet God, like America today, remained faithful, remained merciful, remained long-suffering. This is what gave Jeremiah hope in spite of all the chaos and the ruin and the judgment that he witnessed in the land. He understood, in spite of all that I see, in spite of all that I witness, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And yet Jerusalem, the people of the world would decree, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Why was Jerusalem such a beautiful city? Because God put his name there. God is beautiful. But God has a side to him that becomes angry with sin and sinners and a lack of repentance. Lamentations 3 and 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Did you hear that? In spite of the destruction, in spite of the judgment, in spite of the chaos, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God is still full of compassion every day, though he will soon mete out judgment in America. It does not take away his compassion. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. You see, before judgment is ever meted out, we should be seeking the face and the counsel of God. Everyone listening to this program should be earnestly praying and contending for the faith. Because it will not be well, Isaiah said, with the wicked. It will not be well. No, it won't. That's that last phrase there in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 10:13. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Our lives are but a shadow. That was the words of Job in Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. The day will come when you and I will not continue as we are. If the Lord tarries, we will die, go by the way of the grave, and return to the earth from whence we came. As you get older, you realize the deity of God, at least you should, the brevity of life, the solemnity of life, how solemn everything really is at the end of the day. Yet people are reckless. They do not fear God. They do not embrace God. They don't have time for God. They're enamored with themselves. They're enamored with their life and their lifestyle. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. June is Gay Pride Month. A whole month is given to pride and arrogancy. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride. Pride brings this on. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. If you have a walk with God, you hate those things. You loathe those things. You despise those things, or at least you should. And as you spend time in God's presence and in His counsel, He will touch your heart and touch your life, and you will see these things as evil and abhorrent, and you will seek to stay away from them. You want to please the Lord. The wicked always die in hopelessness. Why? Because they did not choose Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're living in a time when everything that is vile, wicked, salacious, evil, perverse is exalted, it is extolled, it is lauded as though it's awesome and it's great. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We're to laud, extol, worship, praise, magnify, and glorify the Lord God of Israel. He's the true God. He is the true shepherd, amen. Yet people do not cast their lot with him. They cast their lot with the wicked. And as Solomon said here in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against evil is not executed speedily or quickly, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. This is why you are seeing an explosion of lawlessness throughout America, because the George Soros-backed district attorneys don't prosecute anything. They lessen crime. They lessen lawlessness. They do everything that is wrong. They do everything that is evil according to that which should be right. Should be a felony in some instances. No, we'll reduce that to a misdemeanor. This is what Solomon is saying here in Ecclesiastes 8, verses 10 through 13. Think of that. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Even the Constitution says we're to have a speedy trial. Everyone's right is to have a speedy trial. They put them on death row in prison, and they live for 20, 30, 40 more years. This is what Solomon is saying. He understood the profound wisdom that he had, yet he messed up his life in essence in the end. But here in verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. They think they're getting by. They perceive there are no consequences. There are no certainties here. But oh, there is, my friend. You may get by your whole life on earth, having lived a life of crime, criminality but never suffering any so-called penalty. The penalty will come. It will come. The judgment of God. But then it'll be too late. Everyone that stands at the great white throne judgment is doomed. Now, I know I've heard preachers teach at the great white throne judgment. There's a second opportunity. There's a second chance. That you will not find that in that 20th chapter of Revelation. It is not there. It does not exist. Though you have these heretical teachers advocating and appropriate, you can still get saved. No, you can't. Show me in there where anybody is given an opportunity to repent of their sins. They're not given that. Remember, he looks through the Lamb's Book of Life. This is Christ Jesus. And their names are not found in the Book of Life. And when you read that, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go there and read the Great White Throne Judgment. You don't see anywhere where anyone is given an opportunity to repent, to reconcile with God, or ask for the forgiveness of their sins. Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's no place to hide, no place to run, no way to get away from the presence of God. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Those are record books. Everything that we do, God has a record of it, good or bad. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life, meaning if your name is in that book, you have eternal life. If your name is not in the book, you have eternal death and damnation. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books or the record books. And what is written? According to their works. You know, Nancy Pelosi says, I'm a Catholic, I love the Lord. But she embraces abortion, same-sex marriage, etc., etc. Those are her works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. All their works are evil. You want all your works to be righteous works. Though they don't save you, but if you are saved, you have godly works. If you're not saved, you have satanic, evil works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You do not find anyone getting saved, anyone repenting, or anyone at this point in time at the great white throne judgment ever having an opportunity to know Christ. There's a organization, I think it's called Tomorrow's World or something like that. They're very legalistic in the law, et cetera, et cetera. But they teach this 20th chapter of Revelation. There's an opportunity to make it right with God. That's not true. That means you can live like hell. You could be the biggest adulterer, fornicator, drunkard, whatever the case might be. Oh, you'll spend 1,000 years in hell, and at that point in time, at the great white throne judgment, you'll get an opportunity to make it right with God. The Bible does not teach that heresy. That is man-made false doctrine. Think about the people that have renounced God all these years. They've denied the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I deny also before my Father which is in heaven. You're either going to be known as a child, a son, a daughter of God, or you're not. It's not both ways. You can't have it your way. This is not Burger King, though many people believe that. That was the peril the Apostle Peter was in. The peril was he denied Christ three times. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever there shall deny me before men, shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Then we read in Matthew 7, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful works in thy name? Cast out devils. We've done all these great things. He will say, depart from me. I know you not. See, those people in Matthew chapter 7, those are religious people. And they built their house on sinking sand. They did not build their house correctly. You might say we're all building. You're supposed to be building up treasure where? In heaven. We're all supposed to be building treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. But sadly, many are sowing to the flesh and they're going to reap the works of the flesh. I said this many years, there's only one storm. There's not a storm for the church, the Christians, and then a storm for the world. There's only one storm. The thought here is it's how you build your house. How you build your house. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If I was a betting, gambling man, I would bet and gamble a lot that all them ladies on The View and programs of that nature would say, hey, I'm a Christian too. That was what the Pharisees kept trying to do to Christ. But he told them the truth. He told them just like it was, John 8:44. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Whoopi Goldberg, that's not her real name. She's not a Jewish lady. Her last name, if I remember correctly, was Johnson. She changed her name, and she chose a Jewish name, Goldberg. Our world is a world of chicanery, a world of trickery. But see, God, in his sovereignty, in his deity, he knows the truth about every person. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. There's nothing about any of us that God does not know. Every minuscule detail, the things that you think no one knows, no one's ever seen, no one could ever find out, God knows all about it. God knows all about it. Jesus said, whoever hearkens and heareth my sayings and obeys my word, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Down here in the south, the old farmers, the Mill Hill houses, they would lay literal rock. You know, basically a 2-foot in diameter rock. They put them at the corners and they began to build the house on that. So it wasn't on laying on the ground. And today in modern construction, we dig footings. We dig footings. We put rebar. We put fiberglass in the cement to make it more strong, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't do that back then. They would put big rocks and they built the house upon the rock. Well, see, the rock here in Matthew 7, is Jesus, the chief cornerstone. And what did he say? The builders rejected me. Those who are supposed to be building used the wrong material, literally wrong material, and it is subpar. It has not come up to God's standard. But those who build upon the rock, Jesus Christ, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus is the rock of ages. Then there's the other crowd. They hear the word of God. They hear the sayings of Christ, but they don't do them. How many people hear the word of God, spurn it, reject it, criticize it, find fault in it, and rebel against the truth? They put their fingers in their ears and say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. But they too are building their house. They're building their structure. They're building their edifice. They're building it. We're all building. As I said, it's how you built, because there's only one storm. Here in Matthew 7, there is not two storms, one for the church and one for the world. The church and the world both go through the same storm, the same tempest. Just like on the Sea of Galilee, all the disciples in the ship were struggling. The wind, the waves, the water was dashing and breaking in the ship. And here comes Jesus walking on the water, defying nature. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. People say, Peter stepped out on the water. He stepped out on the word of God. That one word, come. He stepped on the word of God, come. And because of his faith, he too was able to defy nature. But the Bible said he got his eyes off of Jesus. He got his eyes on the howling winds. He got his eyes on the blowing tempestuous rain. He got his eyes on the briny waves. And what's amazing is he didn't fall like a lead weight or a cinder block. He just began to gradually sink. I've often found that amazing. It wasn't like you turned a switch or a light off or on. It was a process, like a dimmer. The light was lessening. The faith was waning. The faith was weakening, and he began to go down. But a wise man he was, in that he said, save me. Save me. And Jesus picked him up and put him in the boat and asked him, why did you doubt? That's the humanity in every one of us. So there's only one storm, and the effects are based on how you build your house. Jesus said, everyone that heareth my words, my sayings, and you do not obey them, believe them, embrace them, he said, I liken you unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When America fails, when America falls, great will be the fall of it. Everything is converging. We are seemingly in a place of profuse uncertainty. And I've said for years, I believe the destruction, the demise, the collapse of America will be in the fall of the year. I could be wrong, but I believe the scriptures teach that. As a matter of fact, Flavius Josephus, Antiquity of the Jews, he says he believed that Noah's flood took place in the fall of the year. Babylon was destroyed in the fall of the year. The stock market collapsed in the fall of the year. We are in a very tenuous and a very dangerous place. Our government, and look at America, look at our government. It is so corrupt. Mayorkas, look at the border. And he says, we have things under control. Yet, 300 people die every day in America to overdose of fentanyl. Look at the bereavement of all the moms and all the dads and all the families and all the lostness over drugs. Think about all the debacles and all the chicanery, the deception under COVID. All the money given away. A lot of it misused, misplaced. Can't find out where it went, et cetera, et cetera. They're saying, now, you know, we're going to recycle this money again through our government. People are still at home. They're not even going to work, especially in the government. They're working from home. People don't want to go back to work. The Bible is plain. You don't work, you don't eat. I didn't say that. Paul the Apostle said that to the church at Thessalonica. Everybody wants a handout. Everybody wants, just give it to me. You know? Just give it to me. That's not the way life works, folks. You have to work. You have to work. You don't work, you don't eat. But that's not true in America today, is it? Second Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to close with this. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught or for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. As a minister, he had the power to say, hey, you need to help me. I'm ministering, I'm establishing churches, I'm ordaining elders, et cetera, et cetera. But Paul said, I'm not going that route. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company or fellowship with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy. Count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. I was pastoring. This has been years ago, probably 2008, 2009, 2010. And this woman gave a prayer request one Sunday morning. She said, y'all pray that I'll get my disability. And it struck me, why don't you pray for healing so you can work? But no. Don't pray I get well. Don't pray I get better. Pray I get money for nothing, that I get my disability. Now, there are those who rightfully deserve disability. But everything in the government at the end of the day becomes abused, taken advantage of, and misused, misrepresented. This is why America is an evil nation. People take money from the government. That's one thing I will never, ever do. Some lady kept calling the office. All employees that you issue W-2s, we can get you $26,000 for those people. I told my wife, I said, leave them alone. Do not get involved in any of that. Why? Because it is a hook. Does not the world understand if the government gives you something, they can take it back? They can take it back. Or they can just cut it off. Then what will you do? You'll suffer. Because you're building your house on the sand and not on the rock. Because, friend, the storm is coming. And it will be with great ferocity. It will be brutal. But we have Christ as our Lord, our Savior, and our refuge. We have Christ as our refuge. You will witness, we've seen it in times past, the evil that is in the hearts of many. It is manifested through riots, through destruction, and through chaos. Satan is the god of chaos. God is a God, Elohim, of divine order. There's no chaos in God. Chaos comes from Satan. It doesn't come from God. Remember that. When you see the chaos, you see the garbage and the buffoonery, the stupidity, the ignorance, the rebellion, all of that stems from Satan. He's the god of chaos. We don't have that in our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening. And please pray and seek the face of God.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.